You have fun, you never satisfied, no. You never get enough. You go from thrill seeking, to pill popping, heavy drinking, to club popping. You just can't stop, like it. You're a slave, and you're chasing the Christmas is upon us, so Merry Christmas to everybody. So I'm going to do a couple of Christmas tunes here. All right. Jesus, thank you so much for a beautiful day. Thank you so much for provision. For hope, for your love and care. Father, we ask for your blessing today. We ask for your favor. Father, we ask for you to your spirit to move. Father, we consecrate this time to you. In your name we pray, amen. Oh,
shall see still. Amen.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Good. You guys know our sister Mary, she has a word that she wants to share this morning. So I'm going to let her take it away.
Good morning. So some of y'all don't know, I was in the hospital Monday night at 9 o'clock because of my leg. I was in so much pain, I couldn't even go to sleep. So when I went to the hospital, they checked it out. They took a lot of fluid out of my left hip. My right hip. They was coming to me and telling me that I might need surgery on my hip. And then they talk about hip surgery. And I pray to God every night that I was in the hospital, I didn't need any surgery. The last, like the day before my last day at the hospital, they said, ma'am, you don't need surgery. I said, thank the Lord, I don't need no surgery because I don't need that right now. I'm telling you, God is mysterious. God is wonderful. God is amazing because he answers my prayer. Every time I ask him about something, he always comes through because God is awesome. God is amazing. And I've been having a lot of trouble, and I didn't have water at one time. So my boyfriend's uncle had a friend that just paid off my water bill for me. And I'm like, I thank the Lord that day because I don't know what I would do. I'm struggling real hard, but what gets me that I look at the nature and I look at what God created. And I keep that in mind that God is always going to be with me no matter what I go through. God is always going to be with y'all no matter what's going to happen. If something bad in your life is going to happen, he's going to come through. No matter what the situation is, because I've been through a lot of situations. I've been through a whole lot of crap with my mama. My mother tried to kill me when I was younger and when I was growing up. But God, when I got hit by a car when I was 14, he wrapped his arms around me to make sure I didn't get no broken bones or I didn't get serious hurt. I always ask God to help me out. And I know God ain't going to do it right then and then because he got the whole world to worry about. So I be patient. I sit there and be patient. And I tell everybody that comes to me and say, I don't believe in God. I said, baby doll, I'm not trying to force religion on you. I'm not trying to force God on you. But there is a God in this world. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be alive today. If it wasn't for God, this earth wouldn't be here. So I praise the Lord everywhere I go. I preach to everybody that I see, and I tell them how awesome God is. Because if it wasn't for God, I would probably have to have surgery on my hip, and I didn't have to have it. So I praise God that I didn't have to have it because I couldn't deal with that much more pain. And as soon as I got out of the hospital, I felt more better. And I was praising God, and he's been working wonders with me, and he's been dealing with me for the longest. God knew what I was going through when I was younger. God knew what I was going through now. And every day, he surprises me. I get blessings every day because he's there with me. And if it wasn't for God, I don't know what I would do today. I really don't. God and my boyfriend is the only reason why I'm still standing strong. Because if it wasn't for God being in my life, I wouldn't be strong right now. I wouldn't be moving around. I'll be at home depressed and miserable right now. But God is keeping me my head up. God is keeping me with a straight and forward narrow. And I praise him all the time because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be this strong. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. When I was about 15 years old, I was thinking about killing myself, for real. And it took God to get me to stop thinking that way. Because I was going through that much drama in my life. I was having a mother that didn't care about me. I had family members that didn't really want me to live. So I didn't think I was worthy to be lived. So I said, I wrapped a cord around my throat and almost killed myself. But God gave me the strength to get that cord away from my neck by bringing my grandmother. My grandmother came in and yanked that cord on my neck and said, don't do it. So if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be alive today. That's why I tell people, don't give up on God because God is amazing. He works in mysterious ways. He works with everybody. And I'm telling y'all this because y'all my family. I consider y'all my family. Because I didn't have family when I was growing up. I only had my grandmother. That's the only family I ever had with my grandmother. And now she's dead and gone. And every day I have to deal with that. And it hurts so hard because she's the one that raised me. She's the one that stopped me from being suicidal. She's the one that got me to be strong as I am today. So I didn't know what I would have done with my grandma all my life. She made me strong. She made me think the right way instead of the wrong way. So, to everybody, please keep God in your heart, because God is amazing. He brings people in your life to help you through the struggle, help you through the stuff that you're going through. And he brought my grandma in my life because he knew I needed her. I didn't have nobody else but my grandma. And I loved her, and I still love her no matter where she's at right now. And I'm just letting y'all know, be grateful for God, because God is amazing. God will have you thinking the right way instead of the wrong way. He will bring people in your life to make your life better. He will bring people in your life to make sure you don't do nothing stupid. So please, don't give up on God. God will always be there. He might not be there when you want to be there, but he will. I'm telling you this today because I had a scared. I haven't had a seizure since that one time I had it up here. And I thank the Lord because I don't like seizures. They scare me to death. They scare my boyfriend. And my boyfriend and me is the only, my boyfriend and God and all y'all is the only thing I got right now. I don't have nobody else. All my family left me high and dry. Didn't even care what happened. When my grandma passed away, my mama said, I asked my mama, I said, Mama, if y'all gonna leave, where am I supposed to go? And she said, I don't care. I don't know. I don't really care. I said, okay, you just want me to do me like that? And so my boyfriend took me in his underneath his wing and helped me out. He got his grandma to give me something to eat, to help me to find a home, to help me find somewhere to live at. If it wasn't for my man or for God, I wouldn't be the woman I am today. So I'm just telling y'all, please keep faith, because stuff will go wrong the south, please. Because God has helped me out, my grandma helped me out, and all y'all help me out. All them songs that he be singing, it be touching me in my heart, because that was me and my grandma's song that we used to listen to when she was alive. She was always a Christian person. She would always go to church. She would always read the Bible to me, because I can't read that good, because I get headaches when I read anything. So she would read it to me, and she would read the Bible from front to back so I can get the knowledge. So it's hard for me to read, but I have people that help me out with that. So I'm just letting y'all know I'm grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for everybody here. Because with y'all happy faces and y'all showing me the love that y'all show me, I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know who to go to, what to do without y'all. So I thank everybody here, and I love everybody. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Awesome words. Thank you so much, Mary. Thank you guys for being here this morning. If you are regular, you noticed quite a few visitors with us this morning. Mylon, we thank you. I'm not sure where you're at right now. I've seen him a few times in the crowd, but Mylon Dekich and Fairview Church of God, the Grace Place. Man, I love that name. So thank you guys for being here and your heart for wanting to be with us. I met Mylon. Man, it's probably been over a month now, and Jesse and I met him, their mutual friend Jeremy and Tiffany that are here this morning, and spoke at the Coleman gathering of a lot of pastors. And I remember after sharing the story and trying to share some encouraging words, Mylon made a beeline up and talked with me. And I told a couple of you this morning, but he said, man, I want to bring a group to come out. And I said, okay. I said, that's awesome. Let's do that. And he said, no, I want on the calendar right now. I'm ready to bring a group. And so this has been planned for a while, and we're just grateful for your heart for being here this morning. So thank you for that. Over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot at our church about oneness and walking with God and an intimacy with God and following him. And in fact, I think the night that I spoke with a group that Mylon was a part of, I shared some of what had been going on with us in John 17 and walking with God, and that Jesus, as he begins to leave this life here that he knew on earth, he prayed for you and I. He prayed for the ones that would believe in the disciples, and he prayed that what we would do was be one with the Father. And he even adds this, as you and I, Father, are one. And so we prayed after all the things he could pray for. He didn't pray for us to check off the boxes of being good little boys and girls. He didn't pray that we would read our Bible more. He didn't pray that we would operate life in a certain way, except with the exception of just make them one, Father, with us. And everything else will be taken care of. And so we've talked about that a lot here at the church at Southside. By the way, for our guests, the church at Southside that meets on the north side. It's confusing, but it goes along with our story. That's something that we do. Kind of a confusing journey. But all this walking with God is fitting with the church at Southside's situation. For those of you that have been here over the last few weeks, you have heard the story. You know what's going on. But honestly, we are a church that is seeking and walking with God as if never before. So what we have here is we have this space available where we meet until December 29th. This building has been sold. And the only thing we know about the situation is that we are walking with God and trusting. And the one thing we know for sure is we are not done. I wish I had news to report of this is where we will be. Some things are working. Some things are in the work. But one thing we know for sure is that we are not quitting. I've got testimony to this that we are looking, because in fact, ran into several of you this week as we were out in the city of Birmingham and got to talk with some of you, and you saw some of us out looking. So we are looking and seeking and asking God. But one thing we know is we are not quitting. So here's what I tell you. Keep attending and stay tuned. Anybody remember, though? Charlie, you remember this. The old Batman show, same bat time, same bat channel. Just keep coming back every week. And we'll let you know as soon as we know. So we'll get word out. We've already got cards printed up that we're going to pass out that says we're moving. And the only thing that's waiting to be plugged in is where we're moving. So we'll be passing those out on the street as well. So you'll get word. So keep coming. Keep checking in with folks that you know come out here each week. Can I give you 1 second commercial? Just a quick commercial. You want to be here December 22nd. That's going to be our Christmas gathering. Word on the street is that Santa Claus, no, I'm just kidding, he's not going to be here. But there will be presents like there is at every Christmas family gathering or most. There will be good food, fellowship. And so I encourage you to show up that day. It is going to be an awesome day. So back to walking with the Father, this oneness, this intimacy with Jesus. And by the way, that carries on for even those of you that are not members of the church at Southside, those that gather here from other parts of our city, other parts of our state. I just want to encourage you with this, that walking with God is something that Jesus wanted for us. He said, I want you to be one with me as I am one with the Father. And so this oneness is something we desire. I want to confess something to you, that faith in God is easy when we have everything figured out. That's an easy thing. When everything's clicking right along, you've got all the answers, it is easy to have faith. But man, when you don't quite see everything clearly, that's where our faith becomes real. That's where we grow, honestly. And I want to tell you, I believe that faith has led us here. Honestly, those of you that don't know the story of the church at Southside, this thing started as a house church on the Southside. We were actually in the right place. We didn't get cutesy with the name. We just said, God, what do you want to call us? And we were simply the church gathered, and we were in this area of town called the Southside that now meets on the north side. So that is why we are called the church at Southside. We met in a home. We grew to needing a building. We got a building. We were there for 3 years. Nothing was wrong with the building. We were comfortable. Everything was going great. But God began to put on our heart, what would it look like if you went to the people of our city? And so we came out here. And this is what I want to tell you. Even if you're listening out in the crowd, I want you to listen to this. I had a friend that's involved in our church here, one of our leaders at this church, send a picture this week that said 3 years ago today, this Sunday, 3 years ago today, she said, this is why we do what we do, so that these 25 people, y'all look around, these 25 people gathered around today would hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ 3 years ago today. Faith has led us here. Faith has been amazing. It has been an amazing thing to see what has taken place out here. And I want to tell you that faith will continue to lead. Faith has gotten us here, a faith in God's calling, and faith will continue to lead us. Last week, in fact, we talked about that. A verse for just reminder, Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We don't have all the answers. We don't have the map. Can I be completely transparent with you? Jeremy, that means being honest. I want to be transparent with you and lay everything out on the table. Can I tell you a frustrated prayer your pastor prayed to God this week? God, I don't need the whole puzzle. I don't need to see the whole picture, but will you please give me just a corner edge piece? I just need to know a little bit. Because I'm going to be honest, some of you are frustrated me. You'll come to me and say, man, where are we going? And I'll tell you my standard answer. I don't know. But I got faith. I believe. I'm walking in that. I believe He is going to lead, that He is not finished with us. And so I prayed that just this week. God, just a little piece, just a little piece of the puzzle. But I'm telling you this, faith led us here, and faith is going to continue to lead, that He is not done with us. It's in things not seen. A God that we can't see or physically touch, we believe that He is real and that He birthed this. Guys, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, without His planting of this church, we say it all the time that Keith is not the pastor, that Jesus is the pastor of this church. We follow His lead, but that takes faith. And so we walk in faith. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us how important faith is, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. So we started in faith and we will continue to walk in faith. Today, as we continue to walk in this faith, let me offer what James, the half-brother of Jesus, by the way, can you imagine being the half-brother of Jesus? See, they had different dads, if you're following along. Holy Spirit, was Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit? If you need to know what conceived is, kids, you guys talk to your leaders that brought you here. They'll give you the whole ins and out of how that happens. But this half-brother of Jesus, can you imagine being a half-brother of Jesus? Think about it, the sibling rivalries that go on within your families, but yet having a perfect, sinless brother. You never could blame it on Jesus, because Mary would have been like, Jesus doesn't ever do anything wrong. And she would have been right. Imagine how frustrating. But to give you a heart of James, after Jesus has ascended into heaven, he starts out his letter to the church. By the way, written to a lot of, I like to call it this, I've heard it said, religious bobbleheads. Anybody ever seen a bobblehead? What does a bobblehead do? You know, like that, right? But they got this big old little, they got this big old fat head and its little body. You see what I'm saying? They got all this knowledge. Their head's so big. They got all these religious facts, all this knowledge, but something was missing on the inside. And James is writing to a church that is full of religious bobbleheads, tons of head knowledge, but their works are dead. James starts the letter by saying this, this half-brother of Jesus, this one that had to have a little animosity growing up. I know where you came from. I know who you are, and seeing how he lived his life. But here's how he starts it. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's beyond a half-brother. He is his Lord and Savior. So that's how he writes this letter. And I believe it speaks to the heart of our church as we continue to have faith, as we continue to walk in this present trial of not knowing everything that's going to happen, but we have faith that God has everything worked. I want to stand here and tell you that even though I pray for a little corner piece of the puzzle, I still believe on the flip side of the coin, He's got it worked out. I can't tell you all the answers. I can just tell you that my God is working it out. So as we face this trial, I felt led to share from the book of James. Count it all joy, my brothers, verse 2, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, now I'm not going to point people out here that lack wisdom in this crowd. If I was, I'd put myself at the front of the line. But listen to this. We are facing a situation that we don't have all the answers to. And here he gives us a simple prescription. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person might not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I'm going to trust God on this, that honestly, I'm not breaking down a passage today. I'm not going to go word for word and go back over this, but here is what I did feel led to do. I was in a venting situation, you know, where you have to just pour everything out. I was venting to a friend in ministry, a good brother of mine, Chris Rowe. You've met him out here. And see, Chris is one of those people in my life I can be honest with. I'm blessed that I have many of those. And if I say something that doesn't sound very pastoral, or if I just really complain a lot or act like a little child, he understands it. And so instead of breaking down this passage, I want to share it to you the way that he stopped on the phone and he read from the Message. And I've sent this to people this week to be an encouragement. I want to read the passage I just read from the Message. And I simply want to pray over our hearts from that. The Message is a paraphrase, and it is an awesome way to hear from God in different ways. The same message, but a little easier to understand at times. This is James 1, 2 through 8 in the Message. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Let me ask you this. Christmas is coming up. You're gathered around with the family, and you run down, and you've got presents under the tree, and you're excited, and you open up a present, and it is trials and tribulation. Listen to what James says. Consider it a sheer gift. Not just an awesome gift that when you open up this package that there are trials waiting for you, but somehow in the kingdom math that this is a gift. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Listen to this. Don't try to get out of the situation you're in. When we find ourselves in trial, don't try to rush out of that. In other words, God is doing something even in that. In fact, He may not have even been the one that caused the trial. But don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, anybody want to say amen? If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly. I've never used that word in my whole life. Believingly. Ask boldly and believingly without a second thought. People who worry, their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Man. A beautiful way to put that. Consider it a sheer gift. And so here's where I feel the church at Southside is. That we are going to press forward with faith and believe that even when we don't have all the answers, we don't know all the answers to all the questions that's being asked by me, by others, that we will consider this a gift and know that God is growing us into the people He wants us to be. There's a great book that has meant a ton to me, and in fact, was one of the books that I began to read based from a sermon that I listened to. And it was one of those books that I read right before we voted 100%, the little body that we had, to come out here and gather in this little section right here. By the way, I've said this before, but for those that haven't heard it, for 3 weeks, there was 15 of us right here. And no one else joined us. We sat out here and people would walk by or ride on a bicycle. What are y'all doing? It's like, we're the church. And they would look. Don't see no steeple. See, why are y'all outside? They won't let y'all inside. So, no, we're meeting out here on purpose. You see why? Well, the church was never a building. It's the people. Church isn't brick and mortar. It's flesh and bone. It's not somewhere we go. It's something we are. And that's what God continued to teach us. By the way, no matter what location we go to, we're still the church. Jesus will still be the head. We will still be the body, and we will follow His lead. But the book in this was a silly book to some. It's called Western Theology. And the Western part of it wasn't talking about the Western church. It was talking about the Wild West. It's a cartoon book, y'all. It's illustrated. It is this crazy book that this man takes on this approach about pioneers and settlers, those that settle into religion or those who will pioneer into the great wide unopen of relationship, the unknown of life on the trail. I want to tell you, God has taught me a lot about pioneering, of which I am just one of. I'm not a special pioneer. I just pioneer with you guys. But to live life on the trail. You see, his illustration made the church more like a covered wagon. You could say we kind of got one of those, and it's nothing special. In fact, his covered wagon in this book was beat up with arrow marks inside the canvas, banded together with baling wire, and would have to stop for repairs every once in a while. But here's why I believe God reminded me of that book, is that pioneering is life on the trail. You don't always know where the trail is going to take you, but we follow the trail boss, the one that is leading the way. I think the reason God brought that book to mind was to simply say this, that we will face this trail with faith. That's where I'm at this week, and I pray that you'll join me in that. That whatever life is throwing, that we will face it with faith and belief that He is going to see us through. I still want to say this, and this is something you can call me on later if it doesn't work out this way, but I just think it will. And this is going to sound silly to some in the kingdom of this world and the economy of this world, but in the economy of the kingdom, I believe this is going to be true. I'm going to tell you this with 100% faith and something I can't see. I don't have insider information. I don't know where we're going, but I'm going to tell you this. I still stand what God is leading and stirring in my heart, that this next chapter is going to be the best one yet in this story. That's pretty bold because, right now it is December the 8th and we got to be out of here December 29th. Where are we going? I still don't know, but I think it's going to be good. I got faith, assurance, and hope in those things I can't see. He's already worked it out. Let's look at it this way too. He's already got a place for us. Amen. Place is just the gathering place. The one thing I know for sure is that His church is going nowhere. We're not quitting. He's brought together a family. He is the head of it, and we're going to see this thing through. So will y'all pray with me in that way? We trust, Father, Your word says today that if we lack wisdom, or in the message, if we don't know what we're doing, to ask You. I want to lay down any thoughts that feel like I think I know what I'm doing. I don't. And I want to humbly say, Father, will You lead us? Will You guide us? I don't have the answers. I can't fix this. No one here can except You. And so we trust you. We have faith that you are leading, that you are guiding. You are not finished with this body yet. Such a sweet reminder this week to get a picture of 25 of us gathered under this awning just 3 years ago. God, you've not grown us to this point to just close up shop or walk away. Our location gathering spot may be changing, but the heart and the mission is not. You've called us to be the body, a family gathering together and just pointing other people, Father, to your love and grace and mercy. One of the sayings we have here, one of the things that will continue to remain the heartbeat of this little gathering here, is that everyone has a seat at the table. Every story is welcome here. Every story is safe. This is a family that you've brought together. You are the author of this story. You are the one that planted this church. No human mind or human hands has dreamt this up. God, you have led us here. And so with faith to the author of this body, the protector of this body, the one who will continue to guide us, we say simply that we believe in faith that you are leading us and guiding us and have an awesome chapter that is next. We love you. We thank you. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you.